Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
TurboTax believes taxes shouldn't be so complicated and daunting. People do amazing things every day, so it makes no sense that they should feel like they can't do their taxes. Look at me. I'm a genius, right? If you hear me on the Dan Patrick Show, I have so much trouble with my taxes. But that's why TurboTax provides you with tools and encouragement you need to do your taxes with ease and confidence. For instance, TurboTax Live features CPAs on demand, which gives you access to certified tax professionals anywhere and even on nights and weekends. With CPAs on demand, you get easy access to an actual real-life CPA or EA for tax answers and advice, who can give you answers and advice to help you make sure you get the best possible outcome. And with CPAs on demand, expert help is tailored to you and your particular tax situation. So you'll never ever feel alone or stuck when you're doing your taxes. TurboTax Live with CPAs on demand helps you get your taxes done quickly and easily so you can get back to all the other amazing things you do every day. TurboTax. All people are tax people. That's TurboTax. Remember, if you're amazing at other things, you can definitely be amazing at taxes as well.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, James Dolan's the worst owner in all of professional sports.
Am I going to die before we win another championship?
This is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Once again, Fritzy is out today. Hope to have him back, if not tomorrow, then on Monday here on the program. Rick Carlisle, the Mavs head coach, fresh off beating the Pelicans in Zion last night. He'll join us coming up in a couple of minutes. Poll question from the first 2 hours, McLovin.
If you were a Golden State Warriors fan, would you want Steph Curry to play tonight? 58% say yes.
Yeah, I do, but I'm not his coach or his owner. I want to see Steph Curry play. Selfishly, I want to see him play against Toronto tonight. So he makes that return. Clippers at the Rockets is spicy coming up tonight. And it was fun watching last night with the Mavs against Zion and the Pelicans. Alvin Gentry not pleased with the question about Zion Williamson.
How do you think Zion held up conditioning-wise?
I think he's fine. We worry about him too freaking much, okay? He's fine. He's 19 years old. He'll be fine.
He will be fine, but I understand the question because I didn't think Zion looked great last night. I thought he looked tired. And Dallas took advantage of that, Dallas winning in overtime against the Pelicans, 127-123. Big night for both Luka Doncic and also Kristaps Porzingis. I was wondering about this. I'm watching last night, and I'm a big fan of Lonzo Ball's. I love the way he plays the game. And I just... But, you know, you get that shot a little bit more firmed up, a little bit quicker, a little tighter there, and I think you could have a complete point guard. Well, since Zion Williamson has come back, I wanted to know what Lonzo Ball's per-game stats are with and without Zion shooting three-pointers. So, StatsInc, Tim at StatsInc said there have been 101 players who have at least 175 field goal attempts since Zion Williamson made his debut January 22nd. Lonzo Ball, and these are all the players in the NBA. Lonzo Ball has the sixth highest three-point percentage rate of all of those players since Zion came back.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, dot, dot, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Just having a better than average shot makes Lonzo Ball so dangerous. You know, Rajon Rondo was a wonderful point guard in a different era. You know, he didn't have a mid-range jumper. And it was, if he ever had that. Now, he eventually developed a little bit more of a jumper there, but just enough to keep you honest. Lonzo Ball doesn't have or didn't have a good shot at all. I mean, it was poorly constructed, and it took too long to fire, and it started on the left side, and it was like windshield wipers. And I have said this before, and if his dad's smart enough to listen to me, then he would have said, look at Kevin Durant. Durant starts left side of his head, comes over to the right. And, you know, that's a habit that younger players have when you're trying to get it up there. You know, you're trying to get that shot up, and then you get into bad habits of where you're going to release it. And Lonzo just didn't have a confident jump shot. Last night, he did. And when he has that, it'll make Zion better, and Zion will make Lonzo Ball better and make everybody else better. And, you know, we'll talk to Rick Carlisle about the strategy with Zion last night because Zion got a couple of shots blocked. Porzingis had five blocks last night. Like, there's There's nobody like Porzingis. And he is the unicorn. He can block five shots and hit 5 3-pointers. He's 7'3". And I know that we look at Luka and go, oh, my God, that's a crazy talent. Porzingis, to me, is more unique because he's 7'3". And, you know, Luka's taken away some pressure off Porzingis. He doesn't have to be the man every night. But, you know, Luka is a fascinating talent, a great all-around talent. But Porzingis, when Porzingis plays at a high level, he gives you something that very few players in the game can give you. I mean, you can shoot the three comfortably, and he can block shots. And you're probably not blocking his shot either. Is Coach Carlisle set to join us, Paulie?
Momentarily.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to him. You got an email, Paulie?
I got an interesting email now. Okay. Dan, you went to Dayton.
Yes.
You're one of Dayton's most
of course I
fervent
am.
Backers.
Yes.
Their basketball.
Well, I went there.
You attended?
Yes, I did. I graduated.
So College Game Day is going to be in Dayton this weekend. The big guys, Reese, David, the whole crew. You know,
yeah.
I was broached asking if you were by any chance going to be in Dayton this weekend.
I will not be.
Officially?
Yeah, I will officially not be.
You're supposed to say I'm open to it.
No, I'm not open to it.
Because I think College Game Day wouldn't mind you stopping by.
Well, if they give me...
A jet?
Yeah. I mean, if they...
Sweeten the deal?
Yeah. If they get me a former Ohio State quarterback's jet, you know, I'd be more than happy to fly in there, do a little drive-by.
Billis? Billis could swing by and get you.
I don't think Billis has got the private jet.
No? That is an insult to Jay Billis.
Well, no, he deserves it.
If Herbstree has one, Billis has to close.
If Herbie can free up, you know, his wheels-up jet and, you know, zip me in there and zip me back out, I'd be more than happy to go in and say hello to the Dayton alum.
Quick trip?
Yeah, quick trip. Do that.
You put on your old Dayton uniform?
Yeah, it'll still fit. It's never been used. Not game used. Is Coach Carlisle there? Mavs head coach. Hi, Coach. How are you?
I am here. I am here, and I'm pretty sure Billis does have a jet. So
really,
he's with that law firm, and he's a partner.
Oh.
They got to have a jet.
Where do you sit on the team plane?
I sit in the middle section. There's a section where the coaches, assistant coaches. So the players are up front. There's a middle section in the back section, broadcasting and PR and stuff like that. So,
do you care what the players are doing on the plane?
Well, I trust them.
How were you guys on the Celtics? How were those plane trips?
Well, back in those days, we were flying commercial. We were going through airports, and it was quite different. Guys like Larry Bird, you know, we would go into an airport and he'd kind of find a corner and, you know, kind of face out the window. And because at that time he was the best player in the world and he was getting mobbed, you know, for autographs and the like.
I just can't imagine commercial travel. Like, Will Chamberlain flew commercial. I can't imagine what that did to the careers, your body, you know, just the flying time, connecting flights delayed, canceled. Crazy.
Well, it certainly extended Jay Billis's career.
Congrats on the win last night. I was curious about the defense that you had on Zion. It felt like that Porzingis was always going to be help there, but what was the strategy there?
Well, the number one thing is you got to get back because Zion gets down the floor very quickly, and if he's in space and they throw it up, I mean, he goes up and gets it. If you try to front him, they throw it over your head, and he just gets it and dunks it. So, but we're just trying to stay in front of him, keep a body there, bring help when we could. He's very, very difficult to play because of how quickly he attacks and how dynamically he attacks. But, you know, it was his first back-to-back last night, and I thought, you know, he played extremely well considering that fact.
Yeah, it is interesting. He looked tired last night. I don't know if you got that sense watching him.
Well, you know, we were hoping that the whole team would feel tired. But, you know, they lost the game the night before at home to Minnesota, which was a big game for them. And, you know, they came in, you know, obviously very, very motivated last night. And, you know, in national TV games, there's a different vibe to them because they are longer, timeouts are longer. There's just kind of a different air to the game. And I think Zion probably was a bit tired. I didn't talk to him. I didn't ask him. But I do know that, you know, in overtime at the end, they threw the ball to him and he just, you know, he blew to the rim and laid it in quick twice, you know, and he didn't look very tired on those two.
Talking to Rick Carlisle, the Mavs head coach. They got the Grizzlies coming up tomorrow night. I love how we always have to have a comparison. Who is the comp? You know, and you've been through this before with players you've played with or you've coached. And, you know, even Porzingis, I don't know if there's a comp for Porzingis. There might be. We might have a better comp for Luka than we do Porzingis. I find him fascinating because how many players can give you five threes and five blocks in the same game?
Well, there aren't many. And, you know, in today's world of metrics, the guys that can make the high-value shots, which are the threes, and prevent the higher-value shots, which are the layups, are at an all-time premium. And so, you know, we're fortunate. You know, Cleaver is a guy that can make threes and is a good rim protector, but he's not 7'3", you know. So there's a bit of a difference there. Porzingis is a very, very special player with very special abilities. And as you saw last night, I mean, it's not just being able to shoot and block a shot. I mean, the guy drives it, he passes it, you know, he rolls and finishes. He's got real feel for the game. So, you know, I'm just, you know, super impressed and very happy for him, you know, with Player of the Week last week. You know, it kind of culminates and validates all the work he's put in over 2 years to get back and try to get back to where he wants to be.
When did you realize that you were turning the team over to Luka? On the floor.
Pretty early. The first year, it was just a matter of when the structure of the team could be adjusted to do that. You know, it was clear to me the first time I saw him play a pickup game at our place in September of 2018 that he was legitimately a point guard, even though he's 6'7" and a half and big, strong, and all that. And you know, the New York trade helped facilitate that. And then, you know, there were a couple moves last summer that helped structure the team so that, you know, we had some depth at point guard and some shooting around him and along with some toughness and length.
How do you add, and you were around Bird, so you know great players always add something every year, but let's just say offensively, what would you want Luka to work on at the ripe old age of 21 for next year?
You know, for me, he just needs to keep refining his game. I mean, his game is very, very special. You know, what he can do with the ball, with his ball skills and being able to step back and accelerate and decelerate and, you know, step back, keep his dribble, and then go by somebody. You know, it's just freaky, you know. And so, you know, the things that go along with that, the finishing, you know, the threes, all those kinds of things, he's going to continue to refine his ability to make the proper reads, et cetera. And you know, I think all great young players, as they go from their first to second to third to fourth year, realize that continuing to work on their body and just every year, you know, doing things to, you know, help help your durability, help your ability to stay on the floor. You know, you're going to have games like last night where you unexpectedly go to overtime and you're all of a sudden you're playing 45 minutes or 40 minutes instead of, 35. And you've got to be able to absorb that.
Who would be your MVP right now in the league?
Wow. I don't know. I haven't watched. I haven't studied the stats. I know the conversation really is Giannis and LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very close. And Milwaukee's been so dominant, and they're going to have I haven't looked at the standings today, but they're going to have the best record most likely. And
They'll have 70 wins maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You look at the league this year and what's going on with those two guys. I mean, they both deserve it. I mean, to me, you just get two trophies and you get them together and you have a picture. You know, I mean, they're just and the West and the East are different, and so in so many ways, what LeBron is doing is even that much more impressive. And look, the same thing's going to come up with Morant and Williamson. And I mean, hey, get two trophies out, man.
How about play one-on-one, Coach?
No, there could be an injury. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. But I just think these guys are both, transcendent talents. I mean, we're so lucky. I mean, Doncic comes into the league last year. You got Morant and Williamson this year, and there's a lot of other great young players. You know, it's just a really, really exciting time in the NBA.
And they're all like, if I got a team, I wanted to have my team, and they're under 23 years of age, and I'll give you the rest of the league. Like, you can have an under 23 and put together an unbelievable team, and that would be unheard of a decade ago, two decades ago.
Yeah, you're right. And, but these things are cyclical. We don't get this wave of generational talent, every year, every other year, every, 2 years in a row like this very often. And so it's just, it's been a special period for, the injection of talent. And it's not like talent. I mean, let's face it. You're talking about major charisma. I mean, these guys, Luka Doncic and Zion and Morant. I mean, these guys are, they're not just great basketball players. These guys are like movie stars, with the personality they have on the floor and how they command the attention on social media and those kinds of things. It's really quite an amazing time.
35 years ago this week, you know what happened?
35 years ago this week.
Yep.
Gosh, it's March of 20. It was 85. I don't know. Go ahead.
Bird scored 60 against the Hawks in New Orleans.
Hey, you should have seen what we were doing the night before. If you would have seen our group that night in New Orleans, you wouldn't have thought that 60 points out of anybody was going to be possible.
How bad did it get on Bourbon Street with you guys?
Well, it was bad. It's just, this is one of the legendary things about, Larry Bird. I mean, he just, and I remember that game so well, University of New Orleans. The Atlanta bench, every time he throw in another howitzer haymaker shot, there was one that was a step back three where he made the shot, but then they disallowed the basket, and all those guys, were falling sideways and almost a couple of them were falling on the floor. It was just, it was something else. And the other thing about it was that, in the previous 8 to 10 days, I don't remember the exact time.
McHale set the record, right?
Yeah, McHale had set the record at 56, I think, against Detroit. And in that game, Bird was the guy that went out of his way to keep feeding Kevin, you know, over and over and over again. And you know, I remember after that game, I think Kevin said, "Hey, let's, this is fine. This is, you know, nice. But this Larry's gonna break this. You know, it's just a matter of when." And so
temporary. Yeah.
And so, you know, and you know, 10 days later in New Orleans of all places, Larry just it was.
Do you think he did it on purpose, Rick? That McHale got the record and then Bird saw an opportunity where, you know what, might as well do it tonight.
I don't know. I'd be really speculating there. I mean, you know, it's really interesting. We played a game my rookie year. I think it was in Utah or something like that. And, you know, we got way ahead. It was, you know, it was the height of this, you know, Larry's greatness, and you know, the team was spectacular. And Utah was an up and coming team. They had some talented guys, et cetera. Well, we got up. Larry hit a shot to put us up, you know, 28 or something with a minute to go in the third quarter. So Casey Jones calls my name to go in the game, and I go in for Larry. And I don't remember his exact stats. I just know that he had over 30 points, you know, 12 or 14 rebounds, 10 or 11 assists, and 9 steals. Okay, so he was 1 steal away from a quadruple-double. And I remember being in the locker room after the game, and one of the writers asked him, "Hey, Larry, you know, did you have any interest in going back in there and getting that, you know, steal to get a quadruple double?" And this relates to your question about the 60 points. And this is one reason, you know, I just never felt that stats were the thing for him. He said, you know, when you're a younger player, and you're trying to make your way in the league, this is a very honest answer. He goes, you know, sometimes things like that are, you know, important to you. He goes, but once you get your contract and then you realize that, you know, the real respect comes from, you know, how many championships you get, you know, stuff like that just doesn't matter to me anymore, you know. So I thought it was, you know, an amazing answer and very, very matter of fact, very, very authentic. You know,
well, he could average a triple double. I agree with you. I don't think it was about stats because it wasn't a thing back then. I know Oscar did it, but you know, Russell Westbrook made it popular. But I think Birdie could have averaged a triple double for a few of those seasons. Can you do the quick story, you know, about when your coach, I think it was Casey Jones, forgot your name in the huddle? Can you do that story real quick?
Which time? No, it only happened one time, but
because Bird played a role in that.
Yeah, no, it was we were in March of my first year, and we were playing a game in Hartford, Connecticut. Back in those days, we played 3 regular season games there, and so Casey walks down the bench. I hadn't played in a couple weeks, and he looks at me and he goes, he kind of gives me a head nod and he goes, "You got Danny." So that's Danny Ainge. So I, you know, nudged my way into the huddle. And Casey starts, you know, drawing up a play. And, you know, he goes, "Larry, you're here." And he puts an L. And he goes, "Robert, you're here." It's Robert Pierce. He puts an R. And "Kevin, you're here." He puts a K. "Dennis, you know, you got the ball." He's got a, he puts a D and a circle and a squiggle where the guy's dribbling the ball. And he goes, and he goes, "You, right here." He puts a, and he just puts a, like a scribble mark, like just a, you know. And so, and he calls the name of the play. So we stand up out of the huddle, and Larry goes, "Casey, I want you to be with us for 6 months. You know, Rick, this is Casey." And we laughed, you know, and it was. And I remember we're playing against Chicago, and you know it was it's a serious business for me. I'm trying to stay in the league and stuff like that. But the levity of the situation actually helped get me a little bit loosened up. I actually went in there. I think I hit a bucket and actually did okay, you know. But it was a funny moment.
That's great. Hey, it's always great to talk with you, Rick. We appreciate your time, and good luck against the Grizzlies, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, have Billis fire up that.
Oh, I know. I'm gonna have to check with him. That's Rick Carlisle, head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Once again, it's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today, GEICO.com.
People look at the Kansas City Chiefs this year. You know, obviously they won the Super Bowl. They had an amazing team. And people point to the coaching staff or the talent on the team. The real insiders know exactly how the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year. And that is because they're proud partners with Sleep Number Beds. True story. And my guess is that Sleep IQ data that they've been collecting over the course of the season, that's what really put them over the edge in terms of the rest of the NFL, because did you know that 9 out of 10 couples, maybe even teammates, they prefer different mattresses? If everybody's sleeping on the same mattress, then a lot of people are going to be uncomfortable. But with Sleep Number, they give you the ability to change the firmness of your mattress. So, like, I have a Sleep Number. I'm at a 75. My wife, more of a 50. So, you know, that's a big difference there. So you too, just like me and just like the Kansas City Chiefs, can discover smart, effortless comfort with a Sleep Number 360 smart bed. This is not just a bed, it's proven quality sleep. Come in now and save up to $600 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store or at sleepnumber.com/Patrick. That's sleepnumber.com/Patrick.
I saw this report by Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, yesterday. As much as Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan likes Jimmy Garoppolo, I've been told by multiple sources that he's got some reservations about Garoppolo's ceiling and overall decision-making. All right. Yeah, I wondered about that yesterday, where if the Niners feel like they've seen the ceiling with Jimmy Garoppolo, then why wouldn't you, you know, take a flyer on Tom Brady? But do I want to give up on a 27-year-old quarterback for a 42, 43-year-old one? Not necessarily, unless I feel, and Garoppolo's 28, but there's a 15-year difference there. And he played, this is his first full season as a starter. That's what people have to understand. 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and 4,000 yards passing. You know, he might be one of those guys that doesn't have to put up incredible numbers. He just has to be good when he needs to be good and be great when he needs to be great and don't make mistakes. You know, he doesn't have to be Mahomes. He doesn't have to, you know, put up those crazy numbers. But when you need a play to be made, you got to make it. And if Kyle Shanahan doesn't feel like Garoppolo has that in him, then sure, take a chance on Tom Brady. But you're taking a 2-year chance on Brady, and you might be losing Garoppolo for 10 years where he is a quality starter. And I'm sure Bill Belichick would make that swap. Well, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that if you said, hey, you want to have Garoppolo back at age 28 or you want to have Brady back at 43, I'd take Garoppolo. That salary is going to be a little user-friendly for the team there. And the Niners can get out from underneath this contract with Garoppolo too. Yeah, Paul.
Total hypothetical here. It's not based in any reality. But let's say it was for 2 years. Let's say in some mythical world you could have Tom Brady for the next 2 years or Jimmy Garoppolo for the next 2 years. I'm capping it at that. Mm-hmm. For just a football decision, better chance to win a Super Bowl for the next 2 years.
Well, I don't know how good Brady would have been for an entire season with San Francisco, because they could have drafted Deebo Samuel and they could have signed Emmanuel Sanders. In fact, when Sanders went to San Francisco, at the time I said, why aren't the Patriots going after him? And then they brought in Mohamed Sanu. And I went, 5 years ago, okay, not now. So the Patriots had the opportunity to draft Deebo instead of N'Keal Harry. They could have had these weapons for Tom Brady. But if you look at Brady's offensive line, patchwork, you know, they lost some starters at the beginning of the year. You had injuries. And they just didn't have a true go-to guy that you could count on. Yeah, McClubb.
I saw a big Twitter debate yesterday. Could Tom Brady run the Kyle Shanahan bootleg offense? You know how he does that?
Yeah.
But, like, look at Kyle Shanahan's quarterbacks. And I saw a list like Schaub, Cousins, Matt Ryan. I think Brady could do all that, right?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, Garoppolo's got mobility, but.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess if you brought in Tom Brady, you would want to bring in Tom Brady's system, or at least a portion of that.
Would that be hard for him to sort of meld with a new coach after all these years?
I'm going to guess it would be, there'd be an adjustment period. But, you know, it'd be up to Kyle Shanahan to speak Brady's language, I think. You know, use his terminology or get, you know, incorporate that into the Niners' offense here. But I could see where, you know, Brady would be all in on this. If he leaves, he's going to be all in on wherever he's going. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm here. Yeah, Paul.
I think the difference, though, and the reason this is up is because Garoppolo in the fourth quarter, at least in the Super Bowl this year, was the opposite of Brady in the fourth quarter. Garoppolo, wasn't he three for, I can't remember what the number was, but it was pretty bad, his fourth quarter stats. And that's the difference of Brady. He may not wow you for the first three quarters and not wow you for the regular season, but there's a complete confidence that if you're within 10 points to start the fourth quarter, you're going to win the game.
But if Jimmy Garoppolo completes two passes, then we don't have this conversation. Nobody's saying, oh, his ceiling. Do you realize his ceiling may have been lowered because he had two passes knocked down? Like, is that, that's really what this is coming down to. There is no way if the Niners won the Super Bowl, we're having this conversation about Tom Brady. No way. It comes down to two passes were knocked down. Therefore, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's ceiling. He was 3 of 11 in the fourth quarter and an interception. Yes, McLovin.
But that's NFL history. I mean, if Jared Goff had, Brandon Cooks had kept one toe in bounds in that Super Bowl, the Rams-Patriots, that's a different storyline. If Matt Ryan had done this, I mean, there's so many, you can't, every play, the Giants-Patriots game.
Yeah, but that's a team winning. I'm talking about the perception of Jimmy Garoppolo has changed totally. Because he had two passes knocked down.
Absolutely. I mean, Jared Goff's perception changed because he faltered in the Super Bowl, too, and he missed by inches on two plays at the end, even though it was 13-3.
Yeah, I don't know. Did Jared Goff have a great regular season this past year?
No.
It's not just the Super Bowl with
but
him.
But Jimmy G got cold during the season at times, too.
Well, remember, I was told, you know, when I said I still am not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. I said that when he first got there and he won all those games, and I said, but I'm still not sold. Can he win a game? And they go, oh, all he does is win. I go, okay, I'm going to be the last one on the Jimmy Garoppolo bandwagon. I said that. And I'm still the last guy on the bandwagon. He has everything you want in a quarterback, but when you need him to make a play to do something great, that's what separates all of these quarterbacks. They make a play when you need them to make a play. At some point in the season, postseason, Super Bowl, you made a play. He had two passes knocked down. Okay. And then you have what should have been a touchdown, and he overthrew his receiver by 5 yards. So there's three plays in the Super Bowl. If I'm Kyle Shanahan and I go back and I watch the tape and go, you know, that's on Jimmy, or that's on me, or that's on the receiver. And then if you say, you know what, I'm seeing what I think he's going to be. Is that enough to win a Super Bowl? Yes. It's still enough to win a Super Bowl. They could have won a Super Bowl with a subpar second half by Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, point.
By the way, going back to that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl, what a waste of time that was.
Yes, it was.
A great season. The Rams are scoring points. The Patriots, all that. That might be the worst Super Bowl I've ever watched because nothing happened for the entire game. And it was a little close at the end, but not close enough to be even a saving grace.
Yeah.
Boy, what a garbage.
Yeah, pretty boring. All right, update the poll results, Sarah McLovin. By the way, Terrence Ross, I don't know if this has ever happened before in the history of the NBA. Terrence Ross of my Orlando Magic. Last night he had 35 points against the Miami Heat. He didn't have an assist, a rebound, a steal, a foul. He had no blocks.
Nothing
in his, no other categories. Nothing. He went 35, oh, 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 oh. Is that a triple I don't even know what that is.
That would be a
triple-double? Did he have a triple-double because he didn't have any points or rebounds, assists, and steals?
It's like
he had 35.
A single quadruple nothing. Because in four categories, he had nothing.
But he had double figures.
Oh, right. So it would be a double quadruple nothing.
Yeah, McLovin.
That's just emailed us the other players who've done it.
Who've
equaled that number.
Who've had at least 35?
At least, yeah, there are four players who had at least 34.
Okay, let's give me some hints here.
Carmelo Anthony.
Has been done. Okay.
I'll give you a hint.
Pretty good.
Right team, wrong player. Right organization.
So
we talked about him randomly this week.
The Knicks. Yes, Paul.
Allen Houston.
I'm going to say no.
Allen Houston?
McLovin, is Allen Houston on the board?
Allen Houston is number one.
Oh, wow. That's a good call.
What, Glenn Rice? He could put up some numbers without doing a whole lot else.
Now, yes. Did Paulie look at the email I sent out? That was the question everyone wants to know.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. I have a guess. It would be Reggie Miller?
Is Reggie Miller on there? Yes, he is.
I swear on Getty Lee, I did not look.
What was that you say, Keith, you see out of you just saying?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I would have the stats in front of me, and you know, I'd be like, and Ken Griffey Jr. at the plate, and gone. I believe that's his 38th home run. It's right there in front of you. And I'd have a card that would say Griffey's 38th home run.
When Keith came back to do the radio show when we were still at the mothership,
yeah,
and it was like the first week he was doing it, and you said, you did one of those, like, is that like Allen Houston maybe? And he goes,
oh, God, you're not still doing that trick, are you? DP? DP? Oh, God. You're not still doing that trick, are you?
I know. Yeah, I am. And apparently you're still doing some tricks, too.
Allen Houston scored 37 points and had nothing else to show for it. Bogdanovich had 35. That's this year at the Pelican. That was a month ago he did that. He had 35. Terrence Ross had 35 against – oh, man, wait till Reggie joins us next week. If Reggie's listening, well, he's got Golden State tonight, so he's probably prepping for the game. Reggie had 34 points against the Nets, had no rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. But he did have 34. It's really hard to not put something in a category there, right? Take a break. This Day in Sports History coming up right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Once again, it's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. GEICO.com. Hey, listeners, just wanted to take a minute to thank all our great sponsors and all of you great listeners for supporting this podcast. We certainly couldn't do it without either of you. And I wanted to remind you that you can support our sponsors by going to our show page at podcastone.com, clicking on the Support This Podcast button, and there you will see all our wonderful sponsors that help make this show possible. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and, of course, supporting. And now back to the show.
Marcus Smart of the Celtics fined $35,000 for confronting and verbally abusing a game official. That was in the Celtics overtime loss to Brooklyn and March 3rd in the Garden, in the God. Right, this day in sports history, what do you have for us?
1964, the NFL teams purchased Ed Sable's Blair Motion Pictures, which was renamed NFL Films in 1964. 1991, Reggie Miller began a streak of 52 games hitting a free throw without missing.
Okay.
1993, sprinter Ben Johnson was banned for racing for life for the second positive performance-enhancing drug test.
Mm.
1993. And this day in history, John Belushi passed away this day in 1982.
Ooh. McLovin, final results of the poll question.
If you're a Warriors fan, you want Steph Curry playing tonight. 59% say yes.
Yeah, I do. I got a Meet Friday song. This is... Scott in Tennessee has a Meet Friday song.
think it was Jay O'Jake. Said, let's head up to Milford and grab a fillet. But DP and the boys bought some tickets to the West Coast. And Fritzy found on a stand-up routine in L.A. Tell him to suck it back row. I don't care what you say anymore, it's Meat Friday. Go ahead with your tofu, leave me alone.
All right, Scott and Tennessee.
Nice ending line.
Take the sausage off and eat
it. I can't tell if the songs are funnier when people can't sing or they can sing. It's like, that dude could really sing.
Yeah. I like when they get to the chorus, though, because I want to see what they do with the chorus of a famous song. Matt has a song by Train.
She never compromises, loves a baby back with chicken wings and thighs, yeah. High heels at the grill while the smoke all rises. Ain't that beautiful? Meet Virginia. Well, she
sorry. That's Matt, Meet Virginia by Trey. What'd you find out about Scott in Tennessee?
Scott in Tennessee is, I guess you call him a pro. He is did musical producing and directing and used to work with Kenny Loggins.
Oh.
We confirmed that.
All right.
So he's a leg up on people.
David in Utah joins us. Meet Friday soon. That's David in Utah. I believe that's T-Pain from what the kids tell me. I'm not familiar with T-Pain.
Mr. Payne?
Yes. Should I know T-Pain, Seton?
I mean, he's got songs, like hit songs for sure, but I don't know if it's in your...
My wheelhouse?
Yeah.
Seton's still trying to loosely convince me to listen to Travis Scott. So, You talk about Travis Scott a lot.
Yeah, Travis Scott's good.
I mean, I'm willing. I mean, yeah. I dove into Lizzo and Post Malone, so.
There's a documentary out about Travis Scott that I think he released with his last album that is fascinating.
Ooh.
Fascinating. Because these kids, like, even when I listen to it, I just kind of enjoy the music. It's good driving music for me, right? And these kids that are in the documentary, and they're just going bonkers over the dude. They're like, he saved my life. He saved my life. You don't understand what he means. And I'm listening to the songs, and I'm like, how? How did this man save lives? This is amazing. But I really do like Travis Scott. He's really good. But I just, the documentary is bad. I would watch that. Watch the documentary.
Before I listen to his music?
I think so.
And then he
maybe
can save my life?
Because then you get, I don't know, maybe you should listen to the music first, because you're going to watch the documentary and be like, how is this guy saving all these kids' lives? And then listen to the music.
Yeah, it's going to build up the music too much. You won't be able to deliver.
Yeah.
McLevin, what did you learn today?
I learned that Rick Carlisle says Jay Billis flies private.
Mm. Paulie, what did you learn today?
Larry Bird scoring 60 after getting banged up in New Orleans is even more impressive.
I know. He used to hang out with Buckner and Rick Robey, and they were called the Beer Brothers. Like the Blues Brothers, they were the Beers Brothers, I believe.
Not the most creative. Seton, what'd you learn today?
The quadruple nada is a thing now.
What we learned brought to you by True Car. Go to True Car to get an upfront price from a dealer online. Search from over a million pre-owned vehicles for the new True Car. Buy smarter, drive happier. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Podcast One has some exciting news. It's official. Our shows are now available on Spotify, and it's free. We want to make it super easy for you and your friends to listen to our podcasts, and joining Spotify allows us to be in even more places for fans to find us. If you're already listening to music on Spotify, you can now listen to our podcasts in the same place. If you're not on Spotify yet, all you have to do is download the free app. That's right, no credit card necessary, and simply search for our shows to start listening.
Napa Know How. Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 3/31/20.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. And now it comes in two great tropical flavors, strawberry banana and tropical burst. They're delicious and can transport you to a tropical paradise. Try them both, then vote for your favorite at 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to someplace you actually want to go. Offer ends 7/31/20. Terms apply. See www.5hewin.com for details.